Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Duke Fightmaster.
What's up, Eric?
What's up, buddy? So you've recently had a successful Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
Recently, yeah, to make a movie.
Yeah.
So where are you at production now? Did you finish filming or still filming?
No, we haven't even started. Well, we're going to... Our first day of filming the movie is Friday.
Oh, cool.
It's Friday, yeah.
So that's... Today is Monday.
You saw one of our main camera guy. It was in there,
mm-hmm.
Brendan.
Oh, okay.
Not many people like him, but
he's not very well liked. It was not well received in there. Yeah, we're at Anchor Bar right now. Right,
was it well received?
No, I'm just fucking around.
Oh.
Now you raised $11,000.
Well, it was over 12.
Over 12.
Eleven was our goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was so like with the extra grand, is that all?
No,
that's all gravy money now?
No, it actually, once the money actually got to me, it's less than 11. It was like, because Kickstarter takes their,
right.
What's their beak? And then so does Amazon payments.
Mm-hmm.
They each take like 5%.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of mobsters.
Yeah.
So now your web series I saw leading up to the Kickstarter campaign, the plot of that web series was, are we going to make a movie? Are we going to make a movie? We might make a movie. That would be nice. Now I'm wondering if your movie, your Duke Fightmaster movie is going to be, we're making a movie. Here it is. It's on the screen. Here, the images keep coming. This is a movie.
I wrote the script and then I had an idea to make a Kickstarter thing. I wanted, because I do a lot of stuff for micro budget nothing. I'm like guerrilla filmmaking, you know. Mm-hmm. We just take the camera and start doing it. So we wrote a whole script around a Kickstarter campaign to raise the money for the movie.
But that's point A. That was just to get the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Now you're going to give the actual content.
Yeah.
So what, can you, do you want to give any sneak peeks about what the plot's about?
It's about when you have a best friend and then your best friend gets a new best friend.
Best friend breakups?
It's a best friend cheater movie.
Have you been cheated on as best friend? Did your best friends ever cheat on you?
Your
best friends?
No, so far I'm doing okay. Like, me and Evan are like comedy best friends, mm-hmm. So he hasn't really cheated on me yet. Sometimes he hangs out with like Connor and stuff.
But... He's been on my podcast, you know. I don't want to get. He's been on that, but you're cheating on him now with being on my podcast too. So.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm not like wrecking our friendship or anything over it. We're still comedy friends.
What is a thing that's like something that would wreck a friendship? Like, what are final straws between best friends that where it's like, okay, you can't be my best friend anymore?
What's his butt? That camera guy that I'm using? Like,
Brendan?
Yeah, Brendan. Hopefully.
I don't really remember him that well because like, the set was so like forgettable, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, I'm hoping to lose him as a friend pretty soon.
Good luck with that. There was an 18...
But I can't... So, I don't know the answer to that question. How to... come up with the last straw if you could help me. But right. I need him to make the movie, so we're going to like still be friends with him for a little bit.
Just until... Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I'll wait.
But I don't know if like... if Evan became... See, this would be what would ruin me and Evan's friendship is if like he became your like comedy partner and then was on your podcast every time.
Right.
Then that would be like a deal breaker. And like if he could... He would stop showing up at my house to make little movies, private movies.
What if I sent him like half of a BFF ring and I said, are we doing this?
I'm more into like commitment bracelets that are like engraved.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if the ring's going to do it for Evan. Don't know Evan the way that I do.
Both of your blood are smelted into the commitment bracelets?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you've ever been to like a comedy friendship ceremony, commitment ceremony, but there was blood involved.
So you and Evan sat underneath the gazebo and cut yourselves and became blood brothers?
We did it, yeah, in front of an open mic.
Was there like a yak carcass or like what exactly is involved in a ceremony?
Nothing, just a knife and some blood. And then, like, a ceremony master.
And a deep understanding between the two participants of the significance
of
the ceremony.
Yeah, we look deep into each other's eyes, that kind of thing.
There's an 18-minute documentary about Duke Fightmaster. If you don't know who this is that I'm talking to, and you got 18 minutes, check out the 18-minute documentary about your life.
The video one you're talking
about?
To your
YouTube account.
Yeah, okay.
So, now, you kind of got started in comedy way late in life. You know, you were doing the whole banking thing. You were selling mortgages or whatever. And
then, I was part of the problem.
And then all of a sudden you went, wait a minute. I think I could do what Conan O'Brien does. And then you tried to campaign to get yourself...
That and the economy crashed, so I stopped making money.
Oh, so I see.
I was forced to look at myself.
That is money, terrifying.
If you're making a lot of money, you don't have to look at yourself. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you... You just flow through life.
But then it was more and more difficult to close those deals or whatever, and then you're like, I gotta find a different way to occupy my time?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So in the 18-minute documentary, you're saying, you know, what you really want to do is get 40 minutes together, become a headliner, you know? So what's going on with that? How is the transition to stand-up been?
You know, how's the transition of stand-up? You know, I think that, stand-up is difficult. You can't ever think that you have it mastered, because when you do, it's just like you're going to just fuck yourself. Are we allowed to say
that? Yeah, it's a podcast.
Okay. So I think that it's difficult. To answer your question, I'm not, like, headlining or anything.
Mm-hmm. So that's a spoiler alert.
I am making a movie. So I think that my goal is to make... Because in stand-up, too, pretty much all the headliners, most of them did something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start headlining.
Right.
So you got to do something else as well.
So you think that this movie is your ticket?
I think that movie making is my ticket. I don't know if this particular movie is going to do it, but it's what I want to do. I want to keep making movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, but first I should make one.
Well, Kickstarter's American Dream. That's what's funding this. So, you know, congratulations on your successful thing. Duke's World Podcast. Let's talk about this. This is what I want to talk about. Your episode descriptions, I realize, are very, very flowery, very poetic. You perusing your website, and your blog. You know, your blog is just poetry. I want to look at not so much your podcast, but episode 85, the description for your podcast. And I'm going to read the entire description, and then I want your
all right.
Further and further down the rabbit hole we go. Listen, I am aware I'm off the reservation at this point, traveling the Nile of my mind, and I'm residing in the heart of darkness, or am I a miner for a heart of gold? It's a very mysterious description of a podcast.
Yeah, well, when I'm writing those, I'm guessing that no one is reading that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I guess at least one person did, huh?
So what?
It's like midnight, and I'm just...
You've already wiped off twice and smoked two joints, and you're like...
Let's just write something down. Yeah.
So tell me about your podcast. Is it you and Evan Cassidy every week?
No, well, at this point, because I'm becoming so busy with the movie stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of letting the podcast go to the wayside. I'm still putting one out every week, but I'm guessing that no one is listening to it.
Do you have the Libsyn numbers at all to back that statement up?
I do, but I haven't looked at them. But I'm sure that, well, who knows? I mean, it's not zero, but I think that, like, people come to my site. I'm guessing they're not listening through the whole thing, you know? Like, it's on my website, so people come, so I'm sure they push play, but do you like Bill Burr at all?
Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to his podcast?
Sometimes, the Monday Morning Podcast.
Yeah, so I heard an interview with him, and he was talking about how he forces himself to just talk into the mic for an hour a week, and it's helped out his stand-up a lot, so... that's what I'm doing. I'm just gonna ramble for an hour each week, just myself. Mm-hmm. And I've done that 4 weeks in a row. And I'm guessing it's going to take me like 4 years till I get good at it. That's the time period I'm giving myself.
Are you going mad? Because I feel like in the ascent...
I've always been mad, yeah.
Crazy?
Completely
insane.
I mean,
If you were to diagnose yourself... When I was
15, I got arrested with 50 hits of acid. Mm-hmm. And so, like... I don't think that acid's good to do while your mind's still developing, a lot of it, you know? But that's just my own experience.
So, in your 15 years of life, got fractaled, and then you saw giant interdimensional entities trying to communicate with you, and you were in the middle of puberty, your hormones were raging already, and you're like, look, I can't take all this.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I sort of lost my mind a little bit. At that point.
Do you have flashbacks? Do you feel burnt out already?
Do I feel burnt out? Well, that was a while ago. I don't know. I don't have flashbacks as far as I know. Mm-hmm. But who knows, this whole thing could just be, maybe I'm still 15 and this, I'm having a weird trip right now.
So we're all in a simulation. Who the hell knows what this is? Yeah. Now you're a parent. I just saw your step. I already knew that. Is it hard to be a parent and a full-time parent and a full-time comedian? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't call myself a full-time comedian. Like, I don't go out and get up every night or that kind of stuff. So I'm mostly, like, I stay home with the kids, and a lot of times they'll be playing and, you know, I'm, like, on my computer. I do a lot of editing, that kind of stuff, filming. So... It's definitely better when they're in school, because then I can get all my creative stuff done while they're at school and then hang out with them. Mm-hmm. But I take them to jiu-jitsu every day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm spending anywhere from like 2 to 3 hours at jiu-jitsu, so I do a lot of riding and stuff there.
Do you participate or do you just hang out?
Just sit on the bench, and just do my own stuff. Yeah, yeah, I either read or just write.
Gracie Baja?
Yeah.
So what's the end game there? Are they going to go into the UFC? Are they going to become trained killers? Or is it more of a exercise?
Yeah, it's kind of just a lifestyle. And my kids, like, it's just our one thing. You know, you got to get the kids involved in something. And we just kind of stumbled into that. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be, I don't really have much money. So I was trying to find something for free. So I didn't want to do, like, baseball and then soccer. Like, those stuff cost money. And then, so does jiu-jitsu. But my plan was to just keep going to different ones because they give you 2 weeks free. Mm-hmm. And then just keep doing the 2 weeks free type of a thing. But now...
Are you going to run out of Gracie Baja Studios in your area pretty quick doing that?
No, well, I'm actually not supposed to talk about this. Uh-huh. But, they gave me a deal. They're like, hey, dude, because I told them I did the 2 weeks free. It was our second place. The first place I did 2 weeks free, then we moved to the next one.
Right. Your scam continues. 2 weeks free. Okay.
Yeah. And then, you had a plan. The guy's like, dude, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. And he goes, dude, $100 will give you 3 months and 2 gis. And I was like, okay, fine. Done.
Yeah.
So the 3 months come and go. And then, like, I just keep going, you know? And then we're just going and going, and it's getting, like, really awkward, you know? And then, 6, 7, 9 months. And my kids are, like, also some of the worst kids in the class, too. So I can tell, like, they're not only, like, this guy's just coming and not paying or whatever. So then I finally talk to him, and I do, like, their commercial. I do, like, videos for them and stuff like that.
Oh.
And then so people have seen those videos. That just gives me, you know, more. It gave me a lot more work. And then some yoga studios saw it, and I got paid for those. And I've got paid for, like, commercials for software companies and stuff. So I've actually got some stuff because of that, you know, original jiu-jitsu scam.
Because you couldn't afford jiu-jitsu, so you're just like, hey, I can make you a video.
Yeah.
And then other people are like, hey, I'll pay you for a video. And you're like, really, what?
Now, well, Gracie Baja helped me build up a whole portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because you made a lot of videos for him.
Yeah, I've made a lot.
Just trying to pay.
Yeah. I'm like their video guy.
Look at that. So it seems like parenthood, you know, kind of made an opportunity for you with by trying to scam your way out of paying things. Yeah. Do you know any, like, Mrs. Fields, like, if you, like, say a certain thing, you can get a free cookie? You know what I mean? Do you know any other scams? I'll tell you this. I went around the mall.
Yeah.
Me and my sister, we didn't have a lot of money. We first went to Brookstone, sat in the chairs, got a free massage. Step one.
Okay.
Step two, you walk around the food court. There, malls give away free food to sit, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like you're getting massage, you're eating. Okay, what's next? Godiva. You ask Godiva, hey, what's the sample of today in a mall? And they'll go, here it is. So you get chocolate, you know what I mean? You get massage.
I got a 16-year-old girl that's
pregnant.
She babysits two kids for only $5 an hour. That's pretty good.
How'd you work that out? What's the scam there? She's just a retard and she doesn't understand money?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I run into cool deals. Like, I have like $1,000 tripod. Two computers were both given to me. I just run into like these deals.
Is it your good old charm?
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but
you got a silver tongue?
I don't have a silver tongue. I think when you just are on that level of free is my price, then maybe you're just more on the lookout for it.
Is it just that you ask for stuff and then, you know,
no,
people
like
want to help you out?
People offered it to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The tripod?
Yeah. The tripod guy also gave me the computer. Boom mics, like insane boom mics, whole thing.
How did that work out? What was that scam there? How did you call him?
There's no scam. I still talk to him. He's a cool guy. He's like some dude that like his parents own like a couple of blocks in Manhattan. And I guess like he went to USC film school and like thought he was like going to, so he bought all the shit and then was like, I'm just not going to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then he knew that I was doing it, so...
So you have rich friends? Does Evan know about that guy? Are you cheating on him with Evan?
Yeah, that like guy, like, does, I mean, it's not like he's it was a one-time give.
Oh, that was old.
I still talk to him. I still talk to him.
Is that awkward that was a one-time thing? You still talk to him, though?
No, I'm still friends with him.
Let's move on. Your website... I was checking out today. It's got a lot of different parts of it, but one part is the yoga part. Now,
wife's a yoga teacher.
So is that your wife featured in the yoga videos?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Okay, so...
I've made those videos, too.
I see. Why yoga, though? Because it seems like your website is a mix of comedy, poetry, and yoga... You know, so that's like a weird intersection. So, you know what I mean? How does that all come together?
Mind, body, spirit.
They all need to be connected. So do you practice yoga regularly? Is that just something
I do some yoga. We do it. We have a yoga room. Mm-hmm. It's half yoga and half talk show.
Mm-hmm.
It has like an applause sign in it.
Him and hers.
Yeah. My wife wants to be like, well, I mean, I want my wife... The fucked up thing is that it's easier for me to get a ton of views from my wife doing yoga than it is for me doing comedy. I mean, 90% of getting views on YouTube is being female. Mm-hmm. But two, just yoga has its built-in niche, mm-hmm. you know?
So it's like, a keyword.
Yeah, one of her videos is already at like 23,000 and she gets like 5 new subscribers a day. And I mean, I would love for that to be, because she's my wife, I would love for that to be an income for us as well. So right now I'm trying to help her build, because that's like a natural, like we're just striking a little bit of a chord. People like her doing her yoga classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to do more and more of those. That's mm-hmm. the reason why I have it on my website, because, I mean, I think that anybody can benefit from yoga. And I would eventually like to... somehow turn it into a livelihood.
Yeah. Internet, so. Have you monetized those videos? Because I think 23,000 views could net like...
We haven't, you know, because we can't.
$10.
Yeah. I think that, you got to first like get to the point where we have like 450 subscribers or around there, you need like 450,000, right? Before you like start making any money.
Yeah. It's a grind. Anyway, let me, just so people out there understand, I really want them to understand that your blog is very poetry heavy. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to take a little time to read Closing
God.
Moss, which I just want to...
What are you going to read?
Closing Moss.
Oh, shit. That's one of my poems?
This is a poem that you wrote by Do Fight Master.
This is kind of humiliating. But,
restless right. jabs into dark unknown. They don't pay well. Not for years, if any. Worlds that penetrate... Well, I'm sorry. Words that penetrate are outlawed or ignored. The interest in things unlawful. The pain removal from the masses. You choose this hell, but you've forgotten. The forgetting is double-bladed. Mercy. Words of redemption. Don't believe it. No one leaves. The end takes a lifetime. And that lifetime leaves scars. It's all... disintegrates into the first. Wow. What? Where is that coming from? You know, what did you, you know, write poetry in college? Like, you know, this a...
No.
Is this a new thing? Where's the poetry come from?
You know, I don't know. I just, well, I was in a band, so I'm like a songwriter. Mm-hmm. I've written like 100 songs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it just comes from that. I don't feel like writing a song. I just want to write anything sometimes, and so I was just like, let's just write.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I guess the...
That's how it comes out.
That's the easiest thing to write.
You think beat poetry's a racket? That's another scam that you're getting in on, the beat poetry scam?
No, I don't think
if that... If I just type random words, people length on it.
Well, I mean, it's...
It's easy. It's a scam.
If it's the easiest thing for me to write, I guess it's comedy's not easy to write.
Right.
It's like you really need to like figure shit out and like come at it in different directions and rewrite and reread. And that's just like off the dome, just one little, you know, let's just write something before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm. So that, okay.
So I wrote that in like, what, like 2 minutes or something, you know, just, let's just write something really quick. Mm-hmm. Just for the sake of writing.
Now, this, they don't pay well, not for years, if any. Is that about comedy?
What does that say? I don't even remember this.
Restless jabs into the dark unknown. They don't pay well, not for years, if any.
Yeah, probably. Maybe.
Just restless jabs is your jabs at comedy? Your
guess.
Attempts to...
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
I want to also...
Are you in for the big haul? I mean, that most comedians, if you listen to them, are like, just work really hard for 10 years without expecting anything to happen.
Yeah.
Do you buy into any of
that? I mean, I did UCB since I was 17 in New York. I started commuting from high school, you know, so I started early. And so I did improv for like 9 years straight. And then only this January I started doing stand up full time. But I think, yeah, I mean, I can't really imagine... A life where I'm not working to my next show.
Did you listen to Marc Maron at all? He recently had Bill Hader. Did you listen to that one?
Mm-mm.
But when you listen to a guy like that, these stories happen for everybody, but I was wondering if it drives you like crazy at all. Like, it seems like for him, he just started it and then 2 years later he's on Saturday Night Live. Is that like, how do you feel about something like that?
I mean, I think that's really, really ignorant and people get
ignorant, like that's not true or
no, ignorant of comedians to get angry about things like that. Because I feel like if a comedian's getting all worked up at another comedian's success, they're not learning from the story of that person's success and then trying to replicate it.
Right, I wouldn't get mad at him at all. That sounds awesome for him. That sounds like the dream. I would just be like thinking like, well, fuck, dude, the people who are getting on Saturday Night Live, like you either have it or you don't. Like, I'd be asking, like, I'm asking myself. I mean, I feel like you can work for 10 years or whatever, but there's a fear in the back of every comedian's mind of, what if I suck? What if I'm that guy that's just like the 20-year open micer guy that it doesn't matter how long I do you have those fears at all or anything? Or do you, like, know in your heart, like, I have what it takes?
It's like, just because I've just grown up doing improv, and I've grown up doing, and now I'm starting stand-up, it's like, I just think that comedy is such an ingrained part of my life that, you know, and I think with the internet now, it's like, you can make your own opportunities. It's like, look at what you're doing. It's like, yeah, neither of us are on SNL, but you did a Kickstarter to make a movie, and I'm, like, putting a couple web series together. It's like, it's never about what did somebody else get. It's about what you can do today, cocksucker. And it's always like, you know, that's how I scream at myself in the mirror. What are you going to do today, cocksucker?
Right.
And it's like, I don't suck cocks, but I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to insult myself to, like, you know, get myself a little motivated. But yeah, it's like, there's always something you can do, and I think that kind of gets me on a better day.
Right, so I guess that's the deal. It's like,
we're podcasting right now.
Yeah, we're doing something. You're doing something. That's good. Do you ever ask yourself, what is it, like, that makes, like, a 20-year open micer or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, what is the difference between the guys who end up figuring it out and the guys that don't? Do you have any insight on that?
I remember just when I was a PA in New York, you know, I would PA for MTV shows. And then I met this one guy, and he's like, oh, I'm like, how long have you been a PA, man? He's like, 10 years. And I literally almost went, what? Like, I didn't understand that you could just be a PA for 10 years. Because I thought eventually, you know, like, you're a PA, then you're a coordinator,
yeah,
then
you
you're
move
an
up,
associate
right?
producer. Then, and it's like, I think that the people who...
Did that guy scare you?
That's like, yeah, he scared the shit out of me.
That's like the ghost of Christmas Future,
I didn't know it was
right?
possible that would happen. And so I think it's the same thing with stand-up. It's like, if you're staying stagnated with stand-up, then it's only your own fault. You only have yourself to blame. And so I think that's what motivates me. It's like, if you don't want to be a loser, then don't be a fucking loser.
Right.
Do your shit.
That's a pretty good story. So you think the thing is that guy just never was motivated to, like, move up?
He was also black, so that was probably working against him. But, I mean, even if, no matter what color you are, you got to ask some people above you, like, hey, what's up? How do I do this? And then do that obsessively.
I like that.
Evan Cassidy's your producer and your comedy buddy. What exactly is his job as a producer?
Just hype man.
Hype man.
Hype man.
What does that mean?
He just has a really positive attitude. Everyone needs a hype man.
Mm-hmm.
You need a hype man.
So how did you acquire a hype man?
I just asked him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, look, my budget's free. Like, how can I scam a producer out of
this
guy?
Understands. He understands that it's free.
Mm-hmm.
He's in it for the long haul. The big payoff down the line.
When he signed his contract to be your producer, was that also when... The blood ceremony and the BFF blood ceremony under the gazebo.
Yeah.
Was there any kissing?
No, we don't kiss. We're straight as an arrow.
But I mean, just for the ceremony, though.
No. Yeah, that.
Like, how is that? How is the ceremony like?
No, the ceremony is like with blood. It's man.
Oh,
it's
right.
Manly,
that's right.
Dude.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
With blood.
Are you learning jiu-jitsu vicariously through your kids?
Yeah, like, I feel like I've watched it for 2.5 years now. So, like, I know all the moves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I know what my kids should be doing. I, like, yell it out sometimes and stuff.
So, between yoga and jiu-jitsu, those two things are, like, both ground... One is ground stretching.
Do you do exercise? Oh, you do karate every
day. I do
day.
Muay Thai.
Yeah, you do Muay Thai. Do you do any... other stuff besides that, like running or anything like that, or
Well, I do the like they work us out in the gym where we have to do a bunch of different stuff.
I like to run, like jog sometimes without headphones, and like in the beginning, like the head kind of goes crazy, but then it just shuts off. I like that.
And
after
then
a while, and then I've gotten a lot of my ideas that way.
Yeah, I think when you drive without podcast too, yeah. Like, you know, then that's a good. The only problem is then I'm like, oh, that's a good joke. And then I want to text myself that joke and then I almost get in accidents. Right. Anyway, I want to plug some stuff if you don't mind. I have a show, Flapper's Main Room, Burbank, Tuesday, September 3rd at 10 p.m. Also, I got an Amazon link on the RSS feed of Highway Diary. Please click through that. Please buy something. It doesn't make this stuff any more expensive, but it kicks back a little something to us. I've been plugging this, but I just want to say thanks to Oxmode. Oxmode is my, I got a YouTube manager called Oxmode. And so you're going to see my website change pretty quick because they're going to change my website and make that nice. Anyway, let's do some news stories. A stroke victim is now unable to feel sadness. Look at that guy. Look how happy he is. That guy had a stroke, and now it shut off the part of his brain that feels depressed.
Wow.
And he's loving it. He's 68, and he spent 19 weeks in a hospital, but now he's out, and he is just elated. Does that make you feel... See, you know what also is weird? Like... How much of our emotions are just, like, chemicals in our brain that we have? Like, something, so you might be pissed off, like, oh, that's the wrong brand of ham. My stupid wife bought the wrong brand of fucking ham. I'm so angry. It's all chemicals swimming around your brain.
Did you say ham?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It sounds like ham. Ham.
Me and my ex always would argue about ham brands.
Oh, I'm vegetarian.
Okay. But anyway, so you don't have run into that problem.
Veggie ham.
What do you think about a guy having a stroke and then all of a sudden he's happy? Doesn't that... It's like happiness is just chemicals, you know?
Don't you kind of need the bad for the good? That's why we're in this simulation. Because if we weren't here, it's just all good and we're like, it's kind of boring. So we came into the simulation.
Well, this guy, he's a retired taxi driver. He says, I am never depressed. Being sad wouldn't help me with anything anyway. I would definitely rather be happy all the time than the other way around. It's an advantage, really. That's it, yeah? He said it's an advantage.
What kind of bad things do you think happens to him and then he's laughing? Like, is it at like, funerals and stuff? And
I kind of want to see him, like, being tortured in a Grudge movie.
Right.
Like, he's having, like, his testicles removed by, like, dirty clamps. And he's like, you guys are a fucking gutter. Like, you know, he can't be depressed or sad about anything. Would you have that procedure if they were like, here's a procedure, Duke Fightmaster. You're never sad ever. Are you going to have that procedure?
I don't think so.
What if it was one pill and you scammed it for free?
No, but if I could have one that would make me write funnier jokes, I would do that.
There's a new rules in town. Now...
Stop and frisk.
The New York Police Department are no longer allowed to just frisk you for no reason. Yeah. They have to have a very good cause.
Yeah, there goes your sex life. What?
Hey, if you get frisked by the cops, that's free sex. Right. I didn't pay for a hand job at no place. I ain't dropped $120
for
nothing.
Now you know how I'm thinking, the angles. You want to get frisked.
Get frisked by a hot New York cop? Have your rights violated?
Have you seen some of those, you know how like on police cars they have cameras? So when they're giving the ticket or whatever, but have you seen some stuff on YouTube where the cops are like full body searching them? Like putting hands down pants, feeling the vagina, feeling the
what,
butt.
What, for like a field sobriety test? Like, I'm going to see how quick
they just said, we think
butt.
You have pot. Yeah, and then next thing you know, like hands, that policeman got fired, but.
There's a new sobriety test. I'm going to stick my finger up your ass and see how close how the time it takes for you to clench. Yeah.
What, you would think that the policeman would. In front of the camera. Well, it was a woman doing it to a woman, but I think a male officer made her do it.
Yeah. Filming this. Put your hand down her pants. Now kiss her. All right. Yeah, I mean, because they're stopping frisking, you know, minorities. Yeah.
I feel
like
I wouldn't have been frisked as much as I would have liked to.
Because of the whiteness?
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it nice riding this white thing out? Do you think if you were black, you would not do this comedy thing?
No,
because you wouldn't
because
have your whiteness to back yourself up?
White isn't as cool as they make it out to be.
Who's they? The media?
Yeah. You know, I feel like white is very lonely. Mm-hmm. It's not like we if you go, you know, it's not like you walk around the street and see a white person and give them a nod, like, what's up, man? We're both white. Like, yeah. We don't have our little group. That's a human need to feel part of the group, you know? But because that's almost like racist, you don't want to be a part of a white group. You know, that's so we like, you know, have no group. We're more isolated.
Do you think, yeah, because we've spent so much time in this country being the majority.
Right.
You know, and slowly it seems like that, so no one really cares about the majority. You can't really bind together the majority.
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah, you don't have a right to complain. So then you don't complain, you just stuff everything.
Right. Who's more racist, white people or black people?
Well, white people. Definitely.
Here's a from the article. Blacks are likely targeted for stops based on lesser degree of objectivity founded in suspicion than whites. This is about the frisking. You know, they're saying blacks are getting frisked way more often.
Yeah.
Do you think that the cops are just like, I want to know if it's true. I want to know how big that thing is.
I'm not sure what they're thinking, but...
Do you think our rights are being violated? What do you think is going on with that? You say you're a conspiracy theorist. Like, well, do you think that...
You have to tell me the conspiracy.
That it, little by little, as, you know, you don't boil a frog by throwing them in hot water, because they'll jump out. You put them in water, cold, room temperature, and then slowly turn up the dial. I think
how they're like monitoring our phone calls and like Facebook and all that stuff. Yes, but I've heard that we're more connected. We're more out, you know, with everything. And because they're watching it, like I've heard that because we're so connected and because they're watching everything, we're also getting more rights. Like gay rights, gay marriage is going to come through because people are like, well, if they're already going to know I'm gay, then we might as well legalize it, you know? And like... Mm-hmm. I've heard that, like, pot, maybe it's becoming more legal because of all the surveillance stuff, or it's like, well, fuck that. I don't want to get busted for something that everyone's already doing. Let's just legalize it.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the, they're trying to...
both ways.
They made this thing that we can communicate with the internet very easily. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And then they're monitoring all those communications, but the communications themselves are going, fuck the government, we want more rights.
Right.
And so it's a way for citizens to talk to each other about what they're feeling.
If they're going
to
watch us, let's make it not illegal, because everyone's doing it. You know?
Yeah. So you did LSD.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
What's your drug history after that? Then, you know, you got into more of the
quaaludes. Well, I started in junior high. I smoked a lot of marijuana. And then, like, in high school, freshman year, like, a lot of LSD. And then I did LSD and mushrooms every now and then through high school up till I was, like, 21. Drank a lot. And then I got sober when I was 21. I've been sober for 18 years.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
So then, since 21, you've been clean and sober.
Except, like, I'll eat, like, donuts and stuff sometimes.
Do you think that's off the wagon?
No.
Do you ever have rum
donuts
balls?
Donuts can be, like, a drug.
Rum cake?
Have you ever just, like... No, I try to stay away from that stuff. I mean, sometimes there's food with alcohol that's cooked out, but I'm not, like,
Marsala chicken?
When you're eating, you know, on the free budget, like, you're not getting a lot of that kind of food.
But you can get donuts when they throw them out from Dunkin' Donuts, because, like, they're not going to sell day-old donuts. And then,
right, no. Donuts are pretty cheap.
Yeah. But still, you know, when your mentality is... So do you still live in a massive house from when you were, like, making, like, real proper money?
No, I lived in a killer house back then in Laguna Beach. Huge backyard, like, half a block from the ocean. Killer beach. I don't live there anymore.
But now you still have a yoga room, so that's nice.
Yeah, well, we downsized, but we were almost about to move in with my mom, because that's free, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to scam your mom.
Yeah, I was trying to scam my mom, but I found at the last second the Dana Point Projects, rent controls for poor people, but right on the beach. So it's like super cheap rent
for
poor people.
And they let white people in there?
Yeah, yeah. Dana Point is all white, pretty much. I mean, it's not all white. There's a large Hispanic. But it's like they have to have a certain section of, like, lower-income housing, and that's where I live. But it's, like, super nice.
Mm-hmm. So it's, like, the nicest projects in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I have a path that goes down to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See how it is different, like, white people projects versus black people projects. Because I used to live in New York City, and, you know, there's this projects near, on the Upper West Side, and it's shit, you know, it's like, you know, they didn't have paths to the beach. I mean, it was just all crappy facilities.
Yeah.
Like the buildings were like barely up to code and,
you know. Yeah, yeah.
So how'd you scam your way into that
Craigslist.
Building?
Craigslist? Yeah.
Got you on the project, housing project?
Just randomly, like,
did the government build them?
No, HUD or I'm not sure what.
HUD?
Yeah, that's some acronym for Housing Urban Development or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how they got built, but they fell under low. They're not projects, but they are like lower income.
Were they built on
Kickstarter? They're not allowed to sell over a certain price. You can't rent them over a certain price. It has to be like affordable.
You know, a renegade. You're off the grid. You got your mind and your finances out of, you know, the typical.
I'm trying to. Yeah, you want a low monthly nut.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the trick. No credit cards. No car payments. None of that stuff.
So is your car like roller skates and a sail, like a kite that you hold and you're always getting around? Wind basically, power's free, man. Yeah, wind power's free. Anyway, Duke Valley Master, thank you so much for being a guest. Do you have any shows coming up? Anything you want to plug? Go to DukeFightmaster.com.
Yeah, DukeFightmaster.com. Free yoga. Do yoga. Type in free yoga class, Leslie Fightmaster, on YouTube and do a yoga class.
Mm-hmm. And you start shooting on Friday?
Yep.
So, yeah, good luck with that, man. I hope filming goes great, and, I'll, be checking out what you're doing.
All right. I appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Later, guys.
Aliens worship.